you focused in.
All right.
You're out of focus this morning.
All right. Praise the Lord on this October the 24th, Lord's Day Sunday morning.
Well, that's good.
2 months from now will be Christmas Eve. It seemed like this year is just flying by. And of course, they're already trying to make a pandemic of shortage, be able to get your children some toys. I've seen where they're dumping those containers in the ocean. And it's all about money. To raise the price of things, you got to destroy things and make it harder to get, and you're willing to pay the price. And with that thought in mind, I heard through the grapevine that they're developing super cold, super flu, and even super viruses. And someone would say, well, why would they do that? I'll tell you right now, because there's fortunes to be made.
Yeah, that's right.
In the drug industry.
Yeah.
And that's the new gold. And people have to be sick to be willing to buy their pills. And by the way, they will buy them. I got to get some of my wife today. I looked, she had a pile of just packages were pills. I thought, golly, Dad, do you take that many pills? Oh, she said, they've been there 2 or 3 days. I cleaned them off yesterday morning. But the Bible mentions in Mark chapter 8, verse 37, what will a man give in exchange for his life? And I'll tell you right now, he'll give everything he's got. He'll sell the farm, he'll sell the car, he'll sell the kids, the wife, whatever. Men want to live. And this life down here, the Bible says it's but a vapor. It appeared for a little while. And you know what few days that we do live, Job said man's day is born, woman's a few days and they're full of trouble. And what few days we live, we got to deal with the devil down here. We got to deal with trouble down here.
Amen.
And we got to deal with trying to make ends meet. There's just impossibilities upon impossibilities. Me and Donnie was talking yesterday about heaven. And how wonderful it will be to be in heaven, not have a devil around to sift you like wheat and give you all kind of troubles.
Yeah.
Influence your thoughts and the things that you do and all of that. But praise God, there won't be no devil around. There won't be no problems. There won't be no shortage of anything.
That's
it's just going to be an abundance of everything
that's
in
right.
heaven.
That's right.
And I am talking about good things. Down here we've got a bunch of abundance of miseries and troubles. But I thank God for a place called heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And no excuse for missing heaven. It's free to all.
Yes.
Door's wide open.
Yes.
Welcome man on the door.
That's right.
Jesus
that's right.
knocking, saying, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get on board. All aboard. Amen.
Amen.
Heaven. You know, some people, I guess they're in denial of a place called heaven. And yet Jesus spoke about heaven. And he said, I come down from heaven so he could give us an entrance to heaven. He stepped down so we could step up. And he made what's called a new and living way. And you can go to heaven with Jesus and you're not going to go no other way. You're not going to go through Muhammad. You're not going to go through Jehovah Witness. You're not going to go through the Mormons. You're not going to go through the Baptist Church. You're not going to go through the Amish or the Mennonites. You're not going to go through the Methodists or the Catholics or any other denomination. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You must be saved to go to heaven. And without Jesus, you can't be saved. And in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door.
Yeah.
If any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other way to get
that's
to heaven
right.
except
you,
through
Lord.
Jesus. And if you could somehow possibly make it, you'd be a thief and a robber. You wouldn't get to stay. Not only would you be bound, cast out, but buddy, I'll tell you what, I don't see how you could even accomplish that anyway. Heaven's so far away. It's talking this morning about light years and how far away heaven is. And a light year, I mean, light travels at something like, I don't know, 3,700 feet per second or something like that. But they're talking about how far it would take light to go in a year. And anyway, it's far, far, far away. All right, let's get in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Like I said, everybody's sick. They want you sick. They want your money. And to get your money, they're willing to make sure you get sick. I heard that the pollen's falling, got mold on. I heard the leaves are falling, they got mold on. I don't know. I just know I've used every napkin we've got at the house, blowing my nose. I was telling Donnie this morning that I actually went over and laid on my back on the couch just so my sinuses were drained down the back, and it kind of helped. I don't know if it washed the back of my sinuses out or what, but hey, it quit. So anyway, that's what I did to get rid of my runny nose this morning. I had a stack of napkins. That Tom went through every one of them. I just went over and laid on my back. That took care of it. We're in Daniel chapter number 11. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God.
Yes.
Lord, it was precious in the days of Samuel the prophet. Your word said the word was precious in those days because there was no open vision. Lord, we don't have any open vision in our day. And Lord, the word is precious in our day. We thank you for this precious word. Psalm 68 verse 11 says the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Lord, you said in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail. And I believe a lot of people are failing to read their Bible. They're failing to pray over it. They're failing to ask for wisdom concerning the Word of God. I believe they're preoccupied with the things of the world. And I believe even the church is having a love affair with the world. Lord, I don't want us to get worldly. I want us, Lord, to be where we can walk worthy of that name that's above every name. Lord, that you might be able one day to brag on your church. Lord, we might be small in number. But I pray, Father God, we'd be as big as a little church can be in the sight of God. Bless our efforts today. Help us in this Sunday school lesson. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want to pray for all those that are sick, all those fathers struggling. And Lord, we've got an unspoken request of our own. Seems like this week's been a week, Lord, of people, Lord, with issues, Lord, calling for prayer. And we're forward, Lord, to pray. And even in our own family, Lord, we got a phone call, Lord, and needing prayer. We pray for these needs, Father. We pray for these that are sick, these, Lord, that are hurting, these, Father, Lord, that need the hand of God, need the help of God. Lord, Lord, are hoping in you, Lord, for help. Lord, they're like the psalmist that looked to the hills. He said, from which cometh my help? He said, my help cometh from the Lord. We pray for them, God. We lift them up to you, Lord, this humble prayer. Ask you to help them get well. Ask you to heal them. And Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Daniel chapter 11. It starts out, also I, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. That's the king, Darius, that this is mentioned about. And behold, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. A king is rich. I heard a story a long time ago. I heard it on the radio. And I heard it kind of caught my ear. I heard that Arnold Palmer went to Arabia to play golf. I don't play golf. My son does. And I reckon he's pretty good at it. I don't know. But my dad, he played golf. My son does. And I just don't. But anyway, the king of Arabia, he come out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. I reckon over in Arabia, they don't have a whole lot as far as entertainment. They just got sand and time. But the king came out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. It's a true story, by the way. And Arnold Palmer, as usual, boy, done a good job playing golf. Played, you know, a good game. And the king summoned Arnold Palmer to come before him. And Arnold Palmer stood before the king of Arabia, and the king of Arabia told Arnold Palmer, he said, "I really enjoyed watching you play golf today." And he said, "I want to give you a gift." And Arnold Palmer said, "King, you don't have to give me no gift. I enjoy this. This is what I do for a living." But the king insisted. He said, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer again tried to deny a gift from the king. But the king was insisting. And Arnold Palmer, like me and Brother Donnie, he said, "I'll tell you what, King, just give me a golf club. That'll be fine. Just give me a golf club." Thinking, you know, like the one you hit the ball with. And the king of Arabia gave Arnold Palmer a golf club, a $6 million golf club, which back then would be like $600 million today. But he gave him a $6 million golf club with a motel, with a swimming pool, with 18 holes. A king does not give a small gift because it's a reflection upon the king himself. Now, the King of Kings is going to give gifts, and I can't wait to see the gifts that he's going to hand out. I don't want a gift, but a king will not be denied. We'll say, "I don't deserve this," and somebody will say, "Boy, that's true." And we don't deserve what he gives, but he's still going to give it, and it reflects upon him. And it says here, "This fourth king shall be far richer than they all." Not richer than any of them, but all of them put together. And you know, our king, he's richer than all.
Yeah.
He's rich in mercy. Thank God. I needed mercy.
Amen.
Somebody said a woman went to a photographer to get her picture made, and she's over there primping like women do, you know. And she went a little too far, and she said, "Are you sure that camera do me justice?" That man looked up behind that camera and said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy." And that's what I needed. I don't want justice. I deserve hell. I deserve death.
Yes.
But I obtained mercy, like Paul. He said, "I obtained mercy because through ignorance I done it. I didn't realize that my sins went further than just the person I sinned against. I didn't realize my sins went all the way to God." And most people don't realize that God deserves us to live righteous, godly, and soberly. And we don't, but that's what he deserves. We ought to walk worthy of his name. But this fourth king was far richer than they all. And I'm glad God is rich in mercy. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the rim of Gracia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Now you've got a power play right here between a rich king and a mighty king. And they're both contrary. And of course, like I said, this over my head. Verse 4, "And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his prosperity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those." I think that's a reference to Jesus. I don't know. I mean, this is hard to put in perspective because of the word and the language it's used. But the Lord, even though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, that we might be made rich through him. If heaven had a price on it, I couldn't afford it. Therefore, he paid the price so that I could go to heaven free. Mm-hmm. And at his expense, he suffered my punishment. He died my death. He took my stripes upon his back. He wore my crown upon his head. They spit in his face instead of mine.
Right.
He really, in my stead, died at Calvary, and in your stead too. He took on himself the sins of the whole world.
Right.
And not only did he take them upon himself, but he nailed them to his cross. And there they are today. Amen. He took them all the way to the grave. The Bible said he arose for my justification. What that means is if he didn't get up, I didn't gain anything. But he conquered death, hell, and the grave, got the keys to it. And he sets his captives free, and I am free, and whoever he sets free, Bible says they're free indeed.
Amen.
Verse 5, and the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. We got people down here right now that want power. Some of them drunk on power, but they're never satisfied with the power they have. They want more power. And this king is like them. He's never satisfied. It's really a reference to Satan and Antichrist. And it says, his dominion shall be a great dominion. He wants all power. Well, I got news for him. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And the Lord doesn't abuse his power. He's gentle. He's kind, long-suffering, merciful, full of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that the devil doesn't have all power. I'm glad the Lord got him on a leash, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
He's got power, but no more than what God wants him to have. It's control.
Amen.
But he wants all power. He wants to take over. Verse 6, and in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in his time. Now that's so far over my head, I'm telling you right now, I'm going down for the third time. But this marriage here, it doesn't come to be. And verse 7, but out of a branch of her roots, I think it's a reference to Israel, shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. That verse number 6, you know, Israel was the bride of God, and God gave Israel a bill of divorcement. I mean, just be honest with you, they just played the harlot. They worshipped everybody but him and catered to everything but him. And he finally just, I mean, he cut them off. Now they're going to be grafted back in. All Israel's going to be saved according to Romans chapter 11. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, and I believe that's reverence to Jesus, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. The Lord's going to win. We're on the winning side. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land, but his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come, and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. Now, this is the battle of battles, the battle of Gethsemane. And not Gethsemane, but the battle of I can't think of the name of it there, mentioned Revelation. That's why I say Revelation is a whole lot clearer. Bible's mentioned in Revelation chapter 19. I can't find the name of it, but they meet in the valley of I hate it when you're brain dead. I thought I found it, but it says Babylon. No, that's Ezekiel there. You're talking about that's Israel.
Yeah.
The apostate condition of Israel. That God's going to renew them.
Right.
Armageddon, that's what I'm trying to spit out. I can't find it, but it finally comes to my mind.
Okay.
This is Armageddon. This war here that's got together. And thank you, Lord. I have to admit, I couldn't find the word nowhere. I know I was real close to it. But this battle's going to be fought in the valley called Armageddon. And it's going to be Jesus and his armies and the devil and his armies. And I mean, they're going to have a terrible battle. The devil's going to lose. The Lord's going to win. But a great multitude shall be given into his hand. I did read this much when I was looking for that. And the angel cries out saying all the fowls are in the midst of heaven in Revelation 19 verse 17, gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God that you may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, that which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And they were both cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the battle I'm talking about. Battle of Armageddon. And the king, when he taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after years with a great army with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Like I said, this is hard to decipher because it just went back and forth so much. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people. I know that's reference to Israel. Neither shall there be any strength to withstand, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land. I know that's reference to Jerusalem, which by his hand shall be consumed. So this kind of jumps around a little bit. But this is, the Antichrist coming into Jerusalem, and he's taking dominion, and it gets a little bit more clear in just a minute. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. He shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face into the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease without his own reproach. He shall cause it to turn upon him. I'm trying to get somewhere here in a minute. Then he shall turn his face towards the ford of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Now, I read that this morning about he shall stumble and fall. The first thing that came to my mind was somebody trying to climb a set of steps up into an airplane. I have to admit, that came to my mind when I read about that stumbling and falling. Anybody got a clue who I'm talking about? Trying to go up in an airplane, falling down about 3 or 4 times?
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, I thought about that. Said, he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. And verse 20, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. Now, we're getting a little more up to date right now. Matter of fact, your taxes are going to go up. That's one reason the price of gas is going up.
You're right.
That's one reason the price of your products are going up in stores. This tax. He'll be a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. A lot of this stuff we can apply even in our day about these taxes and stuff. And verse 21 talks about, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. Boy, we got a surplus of them. There's a lot of people in leadership positions in our country that are vile, and they're team players in this plan. Now, this plan, it's going to be fulfilled. Rick said we're victims of prophecy, and we are. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse under the end. And all of this, it's already set. It's not going to change. And his estate shall stand up a vile person. This is coming soon. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, we've got some smooth talkers today. A lot of elections going on today. A lot of people aren't researching or doing any homework. They're just kind of falling in from these flatteries. But we'd be well off, to see what these people really stand for, rather than find out after the fact what we cast our vote for. And, this deception the Lord talked about. Take heed that no man deceive you there in Matthew 24. Well, that's what plays in right here. Going to be a lot of deception.
Yeah.
And when I say a lot of deception, the first thing the Lord said, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. In verse number 4, when he started giving this discourse about the last days, then he went on to say that many would be deceived. In verse 11, said that and shall deceive many. Then he went even further. Verse 24, they shall deceive even the very elect. And this deception right here, I kind of mentioned a little bit in verse 21 of Daniel chapter 11. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. Now, a vile person can't get ahead by telling the truth.
No.
They've got to deceive you. They've got to somehow come across as someone else, because you're not going to vote for a vile person. You're not going to be interested in promoting a vile person. But to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. That peaceably, everybody's going to want peace. And he's going to promise peace, but it's going to be a false peace, and it's going to be a short peace.
That's right.
And he's going to obtain the kingdom by flatteries. They're going to start saying, boy, no one talks like him. He's got a silver tongue. No one can do what he does. He gets things done. Verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, they're going to make a league with him. They're going to make agreement. They're going to give him the position. And he's actually going to sit in the holy, holy place. They're going to think he's the true Messiah. And the Lord, he plainly said in Matthew 24, he said, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets in Matthew 24:24. And shall show great signs. I mean, you know, we all want to see something. Mm-hmm. And the more we see, the more we're kind of on board, or more we're willing to accept what we see. Me and Donnie was talking yesterday about the difference between faith and sight. Mm-hmm. Faith is believing without seeing. Sight is believing because you did see.
Right.
And he's going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should receive the very elect. And they will be, and will be in on this. And it brings it out here in a minute. But many signs, promise of peace. He shall enter peaceably. They're going to say, come on in. Mm-hmm. You're the one we've been looking for. Even upon the fattest places of the providence. They're going to give him the best of the best.
Yeah.
And he shall do that which his fathers have not done. Now, they've done everything over there in Israel. They've stayed with it. They haven't changed. You know, I kind of respect the Amish. They don't change.
That's right.
I admit, they've compromised a little bit. But Donnie said he come to church this morning. He said they're still in that horse and buggy going up the road. And I'm going to say they're probably going to meeting.
Amen.
And they've got, you know, just primitive means of transportation. They wear just modest apparel. Most of their clothes they make theirself. And but Israel's like that. They've held to their covenants. They've held to their commandments. And he's going to enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the providence. They're going to give him the highest seat.
That's right.
And he shall do that which his fathers have not done. Now that's going to raise a red flag. But they're not going to reject it, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil the riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Now for a time, he's going to appear to be their Messiah through flatteries, through peaceable comments. They're going to get on board. They're going to allow a lot of this, not all of it. Verse 25, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Verse 26, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him. Now, the Levites, the priests, they eat of the meat of the sacrifices. That was God's commandment that would be their means of survival, is that they would be able to eat of the meat of the sacrifices. And yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. In other words, these kings, they merged together for the cause, but it shall not prosper, For yet the end shall be at a time appointed. Now this takes a while to get to where this is going. We're talking about muddy waters right here. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. I seen that word Chittim. The first thing I thought of was China. And they've increased their navy. They've increased their ability to launch missiles, rockets. And it says, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. You know, a lot of this, it could go a lot of different ways. It says, therefore shall it be grieved. But now when we get on over here about verse number 36, it's different. But for the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore shall he be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Now, this is a reference again to Israel. He's going to communicate with them. He's going to try to be a friend of them. Verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part. In other words, they're going to make a league with him. They're going to be convinced that he's the one they've been looking for. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. Now that key right there, taking away the daily sacrifice, that's New Testament terms right there. And I'll get ready to get my glasses and I got them on. How about that? It's in Thessalonians here talking about that sacrifice to be taken away. Well, I can't find the exact verse I'm looking for, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talks about who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. And Paul talks about that mystery of iniquity, talks about down there, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan, verse 9, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that it might be saved. And that's kind of what Daniel's getting. He's getting it a little bit muddier what we got here in Thessalonians here. It's pretty clear. But that sacrifice, Israel's going to get the temple built back. Yeah. And they're going to start offering sacrifices. And Daniel here talks about that this, I'm going to say it's the Antichrist, is going to get strong, and he's going to be in the sanctuary, and he's going to take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, my understanding about that is they're going to be in sarcasm and insult. They're going to offer hogs on the sacrifice instead of lambs. And verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Yeah. God's going to help Israel during this time. And he talked about, you know, if those days wasn't shortened, no flesh will be saved, and they're literally going to have to run to survive when this happens. When this daily sacrifice is taken away, they're going to know that they've been deceived. They're going to know they've given this position, this power to the wrong one. And they do know their God, not like we do, but in another way they know Him. They know His Word. Y'all know where we got our Bible from? The Jewish people.
That's right.
They know their God.
Amen.
They might not have it crystal clear, but they know their God and they know God's Word. What you got, Brother Ed?
No, I just heard somebody say that they got a drone. I don't think they allowed drones to fly over Israel, but somebody got a drone over Israel. You know, all the material is there to build.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder why that they don't start it when they have all the material there.
Yeah. They've had drones over Israel because Israel shot them down.
Are they waiting on our God or are they waiting on their own God to tell them when to start it?
This is all set in the providence of God, in the prophecy of God.
Right.
And I was telling Donnie what due time means. I said, that means when God said this time, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And God does everything in a timely fashion. He don't have a watch. He just knows what time to do everything.
Right.
And with Him, it's everything coming together to fulfill His Word. And this is coming. It's real close to right now, but
now this is what I've studied, but it's been a while. Is the temple supposed to be built with the Dome of the Rock?
Yeah.
Yes.
My understanding is where the Dome of the Temple is the actual site where the temple is going to be built. I also heard that under the Dome of the Temple is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I heard that from a Bible scholar, and he told me, he said, Eddie, they made several counterfeits of the Ark of the Covenant to protect the real Ark of the Covenant. He said it'd be hard to tell which one is which. I know one way you could tell, it'll have that rod of Aaron in there, buddy, with almonds on it. It'd be one way to tell, it'll have it.
Doesn't the book of Revelation say that the Ark of the Covenant, God took it back to heaven with Him?
I think it's still here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it does mention, you're right, about the Ark of the Covenant, but I don't think it's the Ark of the Covenant that Israel made. I think it's, I don't think it is.
Okay.
And like I said, this is Mike Gibson. He's quite a student, scholar of the Bible.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of study. He studies his Sunday school lessons for like 3 years before he teaches them. Me, I'm about 30 minutes. But he's talked about that Israel made a lot of different Ark of the Covenants that were imitations of the real one to protect the real one. But my understanding, what he told me, is the real one is underneath the Dome of the Rock. And I don't even think the Muslims know it. I think, this is a power play between God and the devil.
Yeah.
And I think God allowed that Dome of the Temple to be built to protect that Ark. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing here for sure. But it does mention in Revelation the Ark was seen in heaven, but I think it's a different than what Israel made that they carried, to set up the tabernacle. And it says, and they that understand among the people, and a lot of these people, I mean, when King Herod inquired about Jesus, they went to the Word of God and they said, in Micah it's mentioned, that He'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they knew that, and they also remembered the Scriptures concerning His resurrection and everything else. But they didn't want to acknowledge it. But it says, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. They're going to acknowledge it here. Yet they shall fall by the sword. They're literally going to have to run. They're going to fall by the sword. They're going to fall by flame. They're going to fall by captivity and by spoil many days. When Jesus mentioned there in Matthew 24, He was really given light of what Daniel is hearing about here. And He talks about, pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever be. And he said, except those days be shortened, there be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, and that's a reference to Israel, those days shall be shortened. And they're literally, he said, don't even come back, take clothes out of your house. They're going to literally have to run. Woe to them that are with child, and to them that get suck in those days. A lot of them are going to fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. I'm glad I'm not going to be here during that time.
Amen to that.
I'm allergic to pain, I'll tell you right now. I try to avoid it at all costs. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. You remember there, I think it's Revelations 12, I think. In Revelations chapter 12, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child, and to the woman there were given two wings of a great eagle. You know, the Lord said, pray that you fly, be not in winter. I don't know here. Maybe an airplane, I don't know. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You know, some of them, they're going to fall, and some of them ain't going to make it. But the Lord's going to give them some help, verse 34. And that help might be where the earth opens up its mouth, you know, and consumes that flood. But they're going to be deceived, the latter part of verse 44. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Yeah. You better be careful what you believe in this day and time.
That's right. Amen.
What was that girl's name they found out there in the park?
Gabby.
And then Landry, his name?
Gabby.
Gabby. Yeah. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful nowadays.
That's right.
A lot of people find out the hard way. One thing's going on in our day, and I don't like it. I'm looking back there in time. I've went way too long. I'm about to stop right here. But let's get this next verse in here. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it's yet for a time appointed. We're going to stop right there on verse 35. But things that go on in our days right now, scams. You get a phone call, you know, and you know, it's a waste of time to even answer it.
That's right.
But what they want to do is deceive you. But even worse than that, it's on the internet. I learned this in college. I might not learn a whole lot in college, but I did learn this in college. I was very interested in reading. I learned it. They said that my teacher in a computer class, before you open like an email, look up there and see the address, like who it's from, and it'll surprise you. It'll say something like, you're a fool if you click on this. That's actually the address. So if you look at that address, you'll say, no way I'm clicking on that. But if you don't look up there at that address and you click on it and open it up, it's like opening the door of your computer,
right,
to a virus or to a, you know, a Trojan horse or something like that. I mean, our computer suffers enough as it is. But even on other things like articles that are interesting, you click on them again, it gives a portal of entry for these people that want in, that want to, you know, deceive you, want to try to somehow distract you, whatever. But I did learn that in college. Look at the address of who it's sent from. It's kind of laughable if you'll just read it. I mean, like one of them, Rob Money, send me your money. My name is Rob Money. I mean, you got to look at that.
That's right.
And if you look at it, you won't fall into it. But here's why I want to say all that. There are young girls on the internet that are lonely, wanting company, wanting a companionship. And there'll be some guy corresponding with them on the internet. He knows how to say it. He puts his words just right. He's got the right picture. I mean, he's Prince Charming. And they correspond. And it's a private conversation. Nobody knows about it but her and him. And he says, I'd like to get together and I'd like to meet you. She's dumb enough to go meet this guy. He says, I'll send my uncle to pick you up. Sometimes they don't live. They find their they found four bodies looking for Brian Laundrie. Four. People have been deceived. And that's just our day. We're not talking about this day of great deception. We're not talking about all of these victims that are going to fall prey to the Antichrist and to the beast and all of that. But in our day, they've got deception and finding bodies everywhere. All right, we'll stop right there. And we'll get ready to have a little break here before we have our worship service.
You was talking.